Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T&Cs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Never go to the second location. Always trust your gut.
Hello, my name is Chrissy Champagne. You are listening to Residue, a true crime podcast dedicated to keeping you paranoid. Residue is not just another true crime podcast, but a necessary tool for those who want to understand the dangers lurking in the real world. Residue is created, hosted, edited, researched, and produced by me, Chrissy Champagne. And quickly, before we get started, do not forget to hit that follow button. And if you wanted to help out the show a little bit more, leave a 5-star review and find me on social media. If you do leave a 5-star review, just DM me on Instagram at Residue Podcast, TikTok, Chrissy Champagne, Residue Podcast, or Facebook, Residue, a True Crime Podcast. All 5-star reviews will be sent stickers and a little thank you note from me, because I do appreciate you all so very much. And you know what else I appreciate? Other badass podcasters that support each other. I would like to take this moment to give a shout out to my girls, Haley and Harmony, at Make It Weird, the podcast.
Are you into all things weird? Do you ever go to a party and all you can talk about is true crime? Or bugs? Or ghosts? Or that weird science fact that you just can't get enough of? Well, I'm Harmony.
And I'm Haley.
And we're the hosts of your new favorite podcast,
Make It Weird.
The comedy podcast that's bringing you the most bizarre stories from all around the world. Every other week, Harmony and I will each share a new story about something that we find particularly weird. Like the story of the 1920s female watch painters who were being poisoned by radium. Or the story of Carl Tanzler, the man who kept a woman's corpse in his house for 7 years. And in between those weeks, Haley and I will share some especially weird current events in our mini episodes. Like that time someone stole 34,000 avocados. Or that time a dog's microchip helped solve the mystery of its owner's murder. New episodes are live every Wednesday, and you can listen to us on all podcast platforms or watch our video on Spotify and YouTube. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us on the next episode of
Make It Weird.
Bye.
You are listening to episode 74. What do you get with two lawyers, a romance novelist, and a PTA mom? Chaos. This is the story of Jill and Kent Easter, a PTA mom's guide to chaos.
If you knew how to commit the perfect crime, would you do it?
This was the tagline for Jill Easter's book. She did not use her real name. When writing this book, she went by the name Ava Bjork. The title of her romance novel was Holding House. Let me read you a little bit of that. From the air, Sean had thought the arms of the island of Santorini looked like two brown arms cradling a puddle. But now, from a boat about 5 miles off of Santorini's shoreline, he thought the island looked more like the pictures he'd seen on the internet. Jagged limestone cliffs rose out of the water and softened into rolling hills topped with iconic blue and white buildings. The entire landscape was covered with white crosses, as though Satan had threatened to make it personal with the citizens of Santorini. It was just a tourist tub making the sunset rounds, but he was enjoying his time on board. This vacation marked his first time out of California, his first time on a boat in his last spring break. This isn't going anywhere with this. I thought I would be able to find some juicy parts of her romance novel, but I couldn't find any. That's all I could find. And I really thought this was going to be my chance to showcase my voice and the fact that, you know, if the podcast thing doesn't work out, maybe I can do some romance novel voiceovers. I'm just kidding. No, but really, I would. Anyway, all that to show you that Jill is very eccentric. Jill Easter was the kind of woman who, she didn't just walk into a room, she commanded that room. A UC Berkeley graduate and a razor-sharp lawyer, Jill is the self-declared queen of the carpool lane. Jill had brains, beauty, and met her husband Kent while they both attended UC Berkeley. And Kent Easter wasn't exactly chopped liver compared to his wife. He made partner at one of the biggest law firms in Orange County. Jill and Kent moved to Irvine, California, a picture-perfect suburb, to raise their picture-perfect family. Jill stepped back from her legal career to raise the couple's child. And Jill may have traded courtrooms for PTA meetings, but Jill still wore the pants in this family. Jill was highly educated and entitled, and she had a temper that you would definitely want to leave unprovoked. Jill was the kind of woman who didn't just hold grudges. She wanted to make sure that her enemies remembered exactly where they messed up. She was brilliant at holding a grudge, and she was definitely not someone you wanted mad at you. Okay, so this story all starts with a school pickup. Just an average day going to the school to pick your kids up. So Jill's son, Luke, was involved in an after-school program. And it is said that on this day, Jill did arrive a little later than some of the other parents. But when Jill did arrive, her son, Luke, wasn't waiting outside. Instead, he'd stayed behind to help the gym teachers clean up, as some kids usually did. I guess that some of the kids liked doing that, but when Kelly Peters, a school volunteer, brought the other kids out, the door locked behind her. So any of the kids who weren't lined up on time with Kelly Peters to leave the school and go find their parents, they were left inside of the school with the gym teachers and other staff members. So they're not there by themselves, but they are now locked inside of the school because the door doesn't open for them. When Jill arrives at the school to pick up her son, she notices all the other children are standing outside with the staff member Kelly, but her son is nowhere to be found. And she starts to lose it, which I would too. I'm going to be honest with you. At first arrival, I don't see my kid with the other kids. I'm going to get a little anxious. Now, volunteer staff member Kelly Peters is doing her best to manage this chaotic pickup line that happens every single day. And now she is faced with an anxious parent. And she's trying to explain to Jill, your son was slow lining up. He was being a straggler. And this sets Jill off because Jill didn't hear straggler. She heard slow, as in your son is dumb. Your son is dim-witted and slow. And that in Jill's mind was just, no, you do not talk about my family. You do not say those things about my son. And Jill starts going off. And from that moment when Jill starts going off, Kelly just kind of just stays quiet. She holds back. She just lets Jill yell at her. She's thinking, okay, she'll understand after she calms down a little bit. I didn't say what she means, and this is just a situation that should be able to be fixed pretty quickly. But Jill doesn't stop, and it gets to the point where Kelly just walks away. She's like, I'm not listening to this anymore. She goes back into the principal's office, and Kelly just breaks down in the principal's office, and she's crying hysterically, and she's kind of being made fun of a little bit by the other staff members. They're like, Kelly, it's okay. Parents do this kind of stuff all the time. There's no need to feel this upset. But Kelly's trying to explain to them that this is really in her gut. She's feeling like this is really an awful situation. And she didn't want to make someone feel like she was just disregarding their child or not taking care of their child in the way that she does with every kid in this school. So she kind of took offense to it. And from this moment on, from this incident, Kelly Peters becomes public enemy number one for Jill Easter. This is Jill's new project. Her new project is going to be to get Kelly the hell out of that school. And the next day, Jill just marches into the principal's office just demanding that Kelly be fired. And they're like, you know, Kelly's a volunteer. So, and we're not firing her because she's amazing with all of these children. She's amazing at her job. Now, just calm down, Jill. And everyone learns that when you tell Jill Easter to calm down, all hell is about to break loose. Things are going to escalate to a place that no one saw coming. Jill starts handing out flyers. She starts coming to the school every single day, standing in front of the school, telling all of the parents that Kelly Peters is a danger. She is yelling things like, "People need to be warned," and "Your kids are not safe." Every single morning becomes like a circus at this school. Jill was always shouting. Jill was always arguing. Jill would record videos, file complaints with the state of California. She filed a complaint with the superintendent. And Jill would get louder and louder every time someone told her there was nothing to be done. Jill starts turning all of the other moms against Kelly. She starts turning people in the neighborhood against Kelly. Kelly says she would try to take her dog for a walk and she'd have people yelling at her from across the street, "We don't want you here. Leave." And okay, so here's where it gets scary when you really start to think about it, because Jill isn't just this woman with a grudge. Jill is a woman with a law degree and a husband with even more power. So let's talk about Kent Easter, the top Orange County lawyer, husband to Jill. And what it feels like right now is that he might actually not have the greatest home life if this is what he's dealing with all the time. Jill asked Kent to file a lawsuit against Kelly Peters in Superior Court, and Kent did it. And maybe out of loyalty, I don't know, maybe it was out of fear. Maybe he's just used to doing whatever this woman says for all of these years, but he didn't agree with the fact that Jill started going way too far, hiring private investigators to follow Kelly, getting restraining orders against Kelly, saying that Kelly tried to kill her. Obviously, none of these allegations stuck and didn't matter to Jill. She didn't stop. She just kept going. There were emails that Jill sent to Kent, and some of these emails said things like,
"I want a background check on Kelly Peters. Exhaust the criminal code. Find something on her. Serve her at school. Make sure she can never volunteer again. Why are we letting this nobody abuse our son and trash our family?"
February 16th, 2011, a man calls 911 saying that his daughter is a student at Plaza Vista Elementary. This is the school that Jill's son attends. Kelly Peters works here. This man is concerned that one of the parents there is using drugs. He says he saw a car driving erratically. He tells the 911 operator that his name is Jay Chandrasekhar, and he spells the name right away for the operator, C-H-A-N-D-R-A-S-C-K-H-R. He says the license plate said, "Only for the groovy." But the 911 operator started getting a little suspicious because this person that called in was faking an accent. In the beginning of the call, he didn't have an accent at all. And then by the end of the call, he had an accent. But what also stood out to police is that this man, he was stuttering a lot, like before his answers, even before saying his name was Jay. The operator said, "What is your name, sir?" And he goes, Jay. You know, sounds weird. He was also offering up way too much information without being asked. We all know it's an easy way to spot a liar when their story is taking forever to tell. But regardless, police go to investigate the Plaza Vista Elementary, and they go there and they ask to speak to Kelly Peters. Kelly is just having a normal day at work. She thinks everything's fine. She is told that a police officer wants to speak to her, and her first thought is, "Oh my God, is my husband okay? Is my family okay?" And the officer is like, "Yes, ma'am, but you're gonna need to come out to the parking lot with me, and we're going to need you to open your car, because they got a report from this guy that called 911 that this person was not only driving erratically, but he believed that Kelly Peters had drugs in her car, and that she was selling drugs on school property. So the police are investigating her vehicle. They're opening all the car doors. The kids are starting to come out of school now. Parents are already lined up to pick up kids. Kelly is embarrassed as fuck. They start pulling out bags of pills. I'm talking bags. They have bags with like 40 Vicodin in them. They have a humongous bag of marijuana that they're pulling out. They're pulling out pipes. Kelly is just dumbfounded. The police are placing all of these items on top of her vehicle, and she's just looking around like, can you please put those back in the car? The kids are going to see. Thankfully, the officers didn't really think that she did this. They had suspicions before they even got there. And then when meeting her, they were like, you know what? I don't think this lady did this. This looks weird to have this many drugs in your car when you're at school. Like, she would be smarter than that. So they asked her if they can go back to her house. And, you know, they didn't want to have to go get a warrant. She was like, yes, I will take you back to my house. You can search my home. This is not my stuff. So detectives are starting to realize that Kelly might have been set up, and they go back into the principal's office, and Kelly comes with them, and they start talking to the principal and Kelly, and they say, Kelly, do you have any enemies? Is your husband possibly having an affair? Maybe he's having an affair and this woman or man that he's having an affair with put these drugs in your car. Kelly's like, no, no, I can't think of anything, which... Kelly, come on. But the principal looks at her and goes, Kelly, of course you have an enemy, Jill and Kent Easter. So police go back to that 911 call, and they knew it was a little suspicious. So they try to trace it, but they realize they can't trace this 911 call because the call came from a hotel and it came into the police department, which was then transferred over to 911. So whoever called was smart, because I guess if you call the police department first and then they connect you to 911, the call can't be traced. But they do find out that this phone call had been initiated from a hotel in Newport Beach, a hotel called the Island Hotel. Police go to this hotel and they spend hours with the staff looking through surveillance photos and surveillance video, and then they see him. Kent Easter enters the building with just a notepad in his hand. He walks through the building to the business center and makes a phone call. So police bring this surveillance footage to the principal at the Plaza Vista Elementary School. She looks at it and right away says, that's Kent Easter. No doubt about it. Then they play her the 911 call, and she's like, that's his voice. And it's funny because she says to detectives that this man is a lawyer. He is a really, really high power attorney. How does he not know to not call 911 from his cell phone? And how does he not know that every hotel is going to have video cameras? It's 2011 at this point. There are cameras everywhere, dude. And for two lawyers who apparently went to the greatest law school ever, they also used their own cell phones. They didn't even use burners. They were calling each other. And they were calling each other in the early morning hours, and their cell phones were pinging at the same area Kelly lived in. So police are speculating that they obviously planted the drugs in the middle of the night and they left their phones on so police were able to see their every movement. Police tried to do a simultaneous search warrant at Kent's office and the home of Jill and Kent. And both Jill and Kent are attorneys, so how would police get them to talk? Detectives know that there is no way Jill and Kent are going to talk. They're going to try to get them to talk, but they do both bring on two very high-powered attorneys to defend them. Kent is the one who tells detectives that he wanted to do anything for his wife and his son. But detectives keep thinking, like, why would a guy of Kent's stature have gotten involved in something like this? He just couldn't say no to his wife. Kent was addicted to Jill and would give her anything that she wanted. Detectives soon realized that Jill Easter was an amateur author who self-published a racy novel that we spoke about in the beginning of this episode. And now this novel was about an MMA fighter who got involved in a drug scheme and wanted to commit the perfect crime. She literally wrote a book about someone who wanted to commit the perfect crime. And now the story is about to get a little crazier. So, Jill Easter was being watched by detectives undercover. And there's this one day that detectives are sitting outside of her home and they notice that a man is walking down the street holding flowers. They see this man, and then this man sees them, and then this man drops the flowers and runs. And then they see Jill come running out of her house in lingerie, chasing this man. But then she runs back in her house. And now detectives, they go and follow this man. They track him down and they find out that this man is Jill Easter's firefighter boyfriend. Yes, Jill Easter was having a torrid affair with a firefighter for 2.5 years. And this firefighter was in love with her. Her friends knew about it. His friends knew about it. They would hook up with each other in her home when Kent would go to work. But thankfully, this firefighter was cooperative. He did help the police out. He did try to get Jill to talk. He even wore a wire. He met Jill at a park. He was trying to ask her why she would do something like this. And in the conversation, Jill just keeps saying, "You know me better than that." So detectives don't get too much that they can use at trial with the firefighter boyfriend trying to get Jill to talk. But what the firefighter boyfriend does is he provides a defense for Ken Easter. Now, Ken Easter's defense is going to be that Ken was a cuckold, and that is a man whose wife is unfaithful. They are going to try to ensure that Kent would escape criminal consequences, because if Kent is convicted, he's going to lose his bar license and they won't have any money anymore. So it's going to come out in the trial that Jill Easter was having an affair. And Kent testifies that he knew his wife was having an affair. They show the text, they show the emails in the courtroom, they show everything to the jury. These are some nasty conversations Jill was having with her firefighter. I mean, at this point, Kent's middle name should just be Woe Is Me, because he is just trying to play the Woe Is Me card like crazy. But you gotta remember, the dude's a high power attorney. He knows what he's doing. Kent's whole defense is that he was just following orders. He was trying to generate sympathy with the jury. They tried to claim that Kent Easter had no idea what was going on. But come on, he is a smart man. He is a lawyer. So the prosecution is just going to be throwing that in the jury's face. Like, look at this guy. There is no way he didn't know what was going on. There is no way. Now, we already have two lawyers, a romance novelist, a PTA mom, a firefighter, and now we're going to add one more thing in. Jill Easter says that she's deaf and she can't get on the stand and testify because she can't hear and she needs an interpreter before she can testify. And then she starts doing sign language in the middle of the courtroom and pretending like she can't hear what the judge says. I cannot get over this woman. But then the jury is out in the hallway, Jill's out in the hallway, everyone's taking a break, and they see her talking to Kent, just like a normal conversation. There's no sign language. She's talking and hearing perfectly fine. So the judge throws that out. Jill gets on the stand. Jill gets on the stand, and she is just so conceited, and she is not appealing to the jury whatsoever. The first thing that she says when she gets on the stand is, "I went to the best law school of anyone in this room," while she's sitting next to a judge. Jill and Kent Easter are found guilty of felony false imprisonment, 2 counts of conspiracy, and conspiring to have Kelly Peters falsely imprisoned. Jill Easter served 120 days in jail. Kent Easter served 180 days. Then they got divorced. They both still live in Orange County. And Jill has changed her names many times, as she did before with the name Ava Bjork. I've also seen Ava Everhart. There was also a civil trial, and Ken Easter portrayed himself as woe is me again. He represented himself. He showed up to court every day trying to look like he was poor because he didn't want to give Kelly any of his money. I mean, he's a high power attorney who had so many handmade, tailored suits. This guy had the best suits ever when he was practicing law, and now he's showing up to this courtroom in what Kelly described as Mr. Rogers gear. He told the jury that Jill Easter was on food stamps, even though she was living in a $4 million mansion at that time. Kelly was awarded $5.7 million in damages, and Jill and Kent hid their assets, so they didn't have to pay her. Kent actually gave his house away to his father-in-law when they first got arrested, but lawyers were able to get that house back, sell that house, and then they gave that money to Kelly. And it was said that it didn't equal $5.7 million. But this was enough money from selling that house that Kelly was able to pay off her attorneys. And that made Kelly feel good because these attorneys stood by her through this entire process. And even after all of this, there has never been an apology. They will never admit that they did anything wrong, and no one knows the real motive here. Was it just revenge? On November 21st, 2014, the State Bar Court of California suspended Kent Easter from practicing law in California, effective December 10th, 2014. In 2021, Kent Easter was on Jeopardy as a contestant. I'm telling you guys, I have to do a whole story, a whole episode just on criminals, serial killers who were on game shows. It's insane. What is so scary about this case is that you could just be at your job, normal day, going about your everyday business. You piss the wrong person off, your whole entire life is about to take a turn. Well, the truth came out. Jill Easter paid the price. She was sent to jail. She did her time, and now she is free, walking the streets, ready and able to find her next obsession. Hope it's not you. Until next week, stay safe and stay paranoid.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.